We're quite familiar with the concept of the Yisachar-Zvulun relationship. It basically means is that Yisachar is the one who basically dedicates himself to be able to sit and learn, and the partnership between Yisachar and Zvulun is Zvulun enables Yisachar to be able to learn, and the reality share in the Torah half and half. We make mention that the Shil is Zecha Nishmas,
so Temmuz.
And that bus? Okay, so we have the Sarah's Boom partnership, which basically means that it comes in the Olam Haba that Luna shares with half the Torah. Interesting, a very, very close to Muhammad. Yeshiva's Dark Torah once asked me, he says, so Zabul Namaise, he's out in the business world and he supports Yisachar, so Mamish Noam Abba is going to get half the Torah. So he asked, does he have a chiv to be Kveyit in the Torah? He gets half of Yisachar, he's not going to do all the learning, he's getting half anyway. So I told him, Kveyit in the Torah is not because of Olam Haba. You have to learn, everybody has to learn. Elamai, you're raising Panosa. But when you're not Isaac, you have to be Kveyit in the Torah. The fact that you're going to get Tzchar through a different medium, that's not the tachlis of Limud HaTorah to get Olam Haba. And if you have Olam Haba some other way, if you maneuver your way to get Olam Haba, that's not a patur in Limud HaTorah. Everybody has to, his chalik or his chiv of Limud HaTorah. So it has nothing to do with the fact that automatically he has anyway the same Tzchar that Yisachar has. Reb Chaim Lamaise, he said that the truth is he always encourages as the Yisachar Zvulun, he says, partnership. The idea is because there were some Talmid Chachamim, and I've heard about it even today also sometimes, that hesitate. Some Talmid Chachamim that hesitate and would rather really, really struggle very hard, right, without wanting to do this Yisachar Zvulun partnership, because it's going to take away half of their schar of their learning. They want to be, they're not ready to get up and have their schar learning. And Chaim says, what's important is to learn Torah Lishma, not for the sake of Hamachol Mabo. And if sharing and having a Yisachar Zvulun partnership, said Chaim Volozhin, which means you can be able to learn better, that's the idea. That's the whole idea. The fact is that you're going to be struggling and as a result not going to be able to learn really that well either, because you want to have the entire schar of your learning for yourself. That's not the tachlis of learning. Tachlis of learning to learn because the Kodesh Baruch Hu with the Torah Kodesh on the Tzadah, the Yid has to learn. I want it. The Tzchar is there. There's no question about it. But the Chesh should not be that he's going to learn Shvacher because he should be able to have more Tzchar, more reward. And therefore, you should, if you have the opportunity to have the Yisachar Zvulun partnership, go ahead with it. Even that means that you may get less Tzchar because you're giving up half, but you might be able to learn better. And that's exactly really what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. So as the Chaim to say that a person's objective always in whatever he does is to find out what the Ratzon Hashem is in that particular situation. And therefore whatever maximizes a person's learning, if that means that you may have to give up half of your Olam Haba, if that's what it means, but Lamaise as a result is going to maximize it as you're learning. So Lamaise says that's what you should be doing. It's an interesting thing that Rav Shmuel Salant, we spoke about many times, was the Rabbi Yerushalayim. And he became, as he said, a Zokin Muflik, very, very old. And remember that we mentioned that as he was becoming advanced in age, and the Jewish community in Yisrael and Yerushalayim were concerned that, who knows, if he passes on, Yerushalayim will be left without a role. So that was the important, right, it was known as the Aderis, the Belyo David Rabinovich Tumen. This was a great Goyen. He was a younger man, and he served as an assistant rabbi, so to speak, assistant rabbi to Rav Shmuel Salant. And in other words, with the encouragement that one day, when Rav Shmuel Salant passes away, so now Rabbi Yo David Rabinowitz will take over. Ends up that he died before him. The younger man died, but you never know by who, you know, the school of Arif HaShomim caused this on Kodesh Baruch Hu's hands, and all the Kodesh Baruch Hu's, you can't figure that out. So he pointed out that there was actually Shmuel Salant remembers, and is fond of telling a story that involves Rav Chaim Volozhin. In his youth, became so old that Shmuel Salant in his youth actually still remembers very, very closely stories that were told about Rav Chaim Volozhin as if it just happened. Because, as we said, he was so advanced in age going back very early. Check it out. Missed it? So Shmuel Salant basically remembers. So Shmuel Salant remembers. Shmuel Salant remembers that there were two brothers. One was the wealthy brother, and the other one was far from wealthy. He was actually sitting and learning, and the brother would support him, and he didn't make any arrangement. And you have to realize, by the way, someone supports Torah, even if you didn't make any arrangement, you get a lot of scar for supporting Torah. You know, the advantage of the Sokka Zavul making the official arrangement that you get half of Yenim's Torah. But whether you made arrangement or not, there's a tremendous char for supporting Torah, regardless whether you made the Sokka Zavul relationship or not. So this brother, the wealthy brother, supported his brother learning. And after a number of years, he comes and he says, I'm only getting continued to support with one condition. I want half of your Torah. Until now, it was unconditional. And we get char anyway, as mentioned. You don't lose for supporting Torah. But now he said, oh, I want to really make a condition. I'll only be supporting you if I get half of your Torah. So this Tam Chochem, so he turns to Rabbi Chaim Volozhin, right? And Rabbi Chaim Volozhin advised him to tell his brother that then maybe you can talk him out of it. Tell him you have Gevaldik Schar anyway. So maybe you don't need this Sokka's womb partnership. But if for any reason the brother says, no, I'm not masking, I insist I want half, then that's what you should be doing. Kedai to give up half of your Olam Haba to maximize your Torah learning. but he said to him, but one thing you have to tell your brother, that even though he gets half of your Olam Haba, but it's still going to be a difference. You're still going to get more. Why? Because he has half Torah as an Oisher. There's a greater Olam Haba of Torah Dadchak, learning in poverty. And Amela, the fact that he's supporting you, we cannot give him Torah that chak. He gets chak for Torah learning. But there's an additional chak when somebody learns with Mesiras Nefesh. He didn't have Mesiras Nefesh back then. You did. So Amela, although he's going to get half the chak of Torah learning, but not Torah that chak. Not that extra chak that one gets when he learns with Mesiras Nefesh, right? Throughout, without in a situation where it's Adad Chak with poverty and so on, and with physical hardship, because he does not have that. So there's nothing that could give someone the schar, right? Schar of Mesiras Nefesh for physical hardship. That nothing can give you. You get schar, half of Torah learning, yes, but not that quality of schar, which means learning Torah Adad Chak. He said, tell your brother that situation. That feeling he won't have, Lamaiser. It's kedai to mention that. There was a time of Chaim Volozhin, there was a Yid by the name of Moshe Soloveitchik. Time of Rabbi Chaim Volozhin was either the name of Moshe Soloveitchik, who actually he had a lumber business. A very, very wealthy man. And also he had a tremendous open hand. This is Gevaldik about Tzedakah. And no matter who came, any Nitzra, for any reason, freely, openly, very generously would support everyone. And with some unexplainable reason, all of a sudden, the wheels turned and he became poor. And he became an oni. And the chalot was not understood what happened over here. And Rabbi Chaim Volozhin, interesting to say how Gedolei Mamol used to think. He set a bezdin. Chaim set a bezdin miyuchet to check out this person's hanhoget, through his business, to find out what could have happened. What could have happened? Kosov, this man who conducted himself on the highest level, really sharing whatever good fortune that he had, at a high degree, giving tzedakah with Yad Rechava. So why did it happen that the wheels all of a sudden turned on him and he became very, very poor? So the Dayan HaMamash couldn't find only one Avera. The Gemara says, HaMavadzeh is somebody who distributes tzedakah, Al Yivadzeh is Yoyim HaMachayim, she should not give more than a fifth. He gave more than a fifth. You've only got Avera. So Mekayim said, listen, he said, because that alone, it's not mistaber that because you're going to punish you if you become a poor man. It's not mistaber at all like that. So it turned out, so you know what happens. So he lost his business. So Ramesh is thinking, listen, I'm going to go through this marriage and sit learning. He began to sit and learn. As a matter of fact, you know, I have an old chaver from yeshiva going back for 40 years. He's doing very, very well in the diamond business. And all of a sudden, people know what happened in the diamond business. Some people are still mostly, others still a few. But many, their business is possible. They can't make a pranos out of it. So after this person also, he suffered a loss in the diamond business. He lives in Borough Park. And I asked him about a year later. I said to him, "No, how's the business going?" "Well, let me tell you this. I'm learning a lot of hours." So okay, please, it's thankful. At least he does that. Okay, it's the worst. So my just answered Moshe Soloveitchik. So listen, and the business guy knew, so what do you do? So we went to this night, he sat and learned. And it turns out that he was a tremendous Balkishan. He was a tremendous Balkishan. And he was able to be Matzliach in a short time. Was able really to grow at a point that one would never believe that he started learning stuff like later in life. Tremendous kish, and he learned with tremendous asmada, with great eon, until he was considered to be one of the greater lomdim, one of the greater lomdim in Vilozhin. Adikadeikach, that Shmoy Hoylech Lefon, was a tremendous Tam Chokham, and also he made sure, as a result, also he always took his children with him to the Bismedrich with him to learn. So what turns out very interesting is, that is mentioned that being he didn't have a business, so he devoted all his time to learn. So a short time he became a poisik in Kovnen. This Gevaldiger Oishin, the lumber business, all of a sudden he turned to learning because the wheels turn, and he becomes actually a poisik in Kovnen. Not only that, Ramosha had a son, Yosef. That Yosef married Reb Chaim Volozhin's daughter. Came a Mechutin Reb Chaim Volozhin. Came a Mechutin Reb Chaim Volozhin, and Ramosha lived to see his great-grandchild, that was the Beis Halevi of Brisk. That's where the Briska dynasty comes from. You know, the name of Moshe Soloveitchik goes all the way up to there. That's where it comes from. There was a Moshe Soloveitchik, was in the lumber business, wheels turn, became a poor man, voted himself to learning, still became a Talmud Chokom, became a Mechutim Reb Chaim Volozhin, and his son Yosef, which after the Beis Halevi, was named after that Yosef. And so Reb Chaim says very clearly, Reb Chaim Volozhin said, would appear to be a tragedy, he says, when his business turned around, can now be seen as a schar. Because what he says, because Baruch Hu L'maaseh, being that we're such a great Baal Tzedakah, Reb Chaim Volozhin made the following lomdus. Being that Reb Chaim Volozhin was such a great Baal Tzedakah, because Baruch Hu wanted to reward his acts of Tzedakah for two things. A, what's great as schar could be, to give him the opportunity to learn, and to have children gedoy l'toyreh. But usually from a house of Ashiras, it's not very conducive to have Gedoy L'Torah come out. The Gemara says, he's a harum ibn Yaniyim shemehem teis the Torah. So Kodesh Baruch Hu, what appeared to be a tragedy, turned his wheel around. And as a result, he himself became a great Talmud Chacham. And what came out, the entire Briska dynasty came out of him. Right? And it would not be conducive to be born, they said, to riches. And that's the way Kodesh Baruch Hu planned it. Nobody was able to see it ahead of time. But what seemed to be something Kadishon very, very bad, Yishem Shemavarkim. Clearly, we saw that a great Teva came out of that situation. So we go to Rabbi Yisrael, it's a very interesting shtickle we have here. And this piece is Neruah Chaim, but this is a shtickle from Reb Chaim's son, Reb Yitzchak, the Biskel of Elohim, the Biskel of Elohim. It's in your edition, it's Dafko Gimel. You see, it says Hagom, Hagoin, Reb Yitzchak, Ben Hagoin HaMechaber. Okay, Daf Kol Gimel, and he's referring to what Reb Chaim mentioned, that we mentioned last week in the last year. Chaim was referring to a Gemara. Let's see again. Amat Shekosav, it says the Gemara tells us in Bava Basra, actually Daf Ein Hey, that the Kenim Sheboi Sador, the Kenim of the generation, Moshe Rabbeinu passed away, Yeshua took over. So the Kenim of the elders, right, who really remember Moshe Rabbeinu very well, he started comparing, you know, the old leader and the new man of Yisrael, the one who succeeds. So they said, they started comparing, and they said, "Pnei Moshe k'pnei Chamo," that the face of Moshe is like the face of the sun, as bright as the sun. Yeshua is also great, but you know what? And then Yeshua is k'pnei Levona, which of course the light of the Levona does not match the light of the sun. Both are tremendous, right? Tremendous benefit to the world. You need the Levona, of course, at night. And they said, computing what the Gemara means, and they also made a comment. But they saw the vast difference between Moshe and Yeshua. They said, woe is to the embarrassment. It's an embarrassment that what? That now we have such a lower level of a money. That's computing what the Gemara is saying. That's computing. We remember we used to have, we had to discuss to have a money like Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, what is it? And there's many different perushim, literally, many, countless perushim, and exactly, specifically, what is the analogy? Moshe is like the sun, and Yeshua is like the Levonim. You might remember Rav Chaim himself said pshat, that was in last year, that Moshe Rabbeinu's mile above all is that it was the greatest Olam of all. Moshe Rabbeinu's mile was the greatest Olam. As a matter of fact, Rav Chaim said, if he would have today, he said it's like a frightening thing. Rav Chaim said, if he would have today someone who's an Olam of Moshe Rabbeinu, he today too would have all the Shleimus HaTorah. You could reach that kind of a darga. But the fact that we're never going to have someone who has the extreme medium of Anova like Moshe Rabbeinu. So Mamela, so Rav Chaim said, what distinguishes the difference between the sun and the Levona, the Chama Levona? Well, Bishad Maisa Breshis. What happens at Maisa Breshis? Well, the Kishbara created the Shnei Moiris HaGdoilim, the two great luminaries. And what happened is was that the Chul Nafsamah came to Levona and said, Yepshul Shnei Melochim. What do you mean? We can't have two kings. Kishbara said, you're right, you become smaller. Right? That's what happened over there. The Chim Me'ati Yisatsumeh. Now, so what do you see over here? The Levona did not want competition. She wanted to be on top. The Chama, on the other hand, did not respond. When the Chama heard the Levona complaining, Yeshesh, they mocking, the Chama said, what do you mean? And at the end of the day, he gained. Rewarded. The Chama remained greater, the Levona was smaller. Similarly, Yeshua came to complain, Elder the Maid of Mistam the Master, we have here two people who are trying to be Nevi'im independently as if they are the equal of Moshe. Yeshua is upset that there are others who seem to give the appearance that they're equal to Moshe. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, he says, so what? He says, Halavai miyite that kol am Hashem, let them all be Nevi'im. So Yeshua, he had the shita of the Levona. Yepshel l'shnei malachim. You can't have two malachim to be mishtamish b'kesecha. You can't have Eldad and Medad sort of like competing as equals with Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu is like the Chama. Ma'abekach. So Medad said, play Moshe, play Chama. Again, stressing the Anova. Said the Chelik Anova of Moshe. That what? He allowed himself to be embarrassed, so to speak, or forget. Maybe he didn't feel embarrassment. Nothing. He was not, the Chol did not affect what the Levona was trying to do. And Yeshua felt, Yepshel Shnei Melochim. What do you mean? How can you allow Moshe Rabbeinu, Elder of the Medar, to be Mestamed Bamachne? Where they are ingratiating themselves at your expense. That's like the Levona. Yepshel Shnei Melochim. So, Reb Chaim said pshat over there because Reb Chaim's theme over the complete Hemshech of that particular theme was to bring out the greatness of Moshe in the area of Anova. That was that. So he touched up the Gemara also in that vein. Come now, Reb Yitzchok. Come to Reb Yitzchok of Elozhin, and he says a very beautiful pshat. He says, I'd like to explain it in the following way, he says. Ginim Mevur Bemedrish, Pashas Pinchas. Then Pashas Pinchas said the following. On the Pasuk, Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, Kadosh Baruch Hu, by the way, appointed Yeshua. Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't say to Moshe Rabbeinu, go and you on your own. Kadosh Baruch Hu said, Kach lechos Yeshua Binun. Kadosh Baruch Hu said, Pashas Pinchas, Kach lechos, go and take Yeshua Binun. So the Medrash says the following. L'kayim ha-shenemar. The Medrash says, why was Yeshua? Apparently the Medrash tried to explain. The Rambam can try to explain. L'kayim ha-shenemar. Yeshua Zoycha. Why was he Zoycha of all the great Talmidim that Moshe Rabbeinu had? Why was Yeshua Zoycha to be the successor? L'kayim ha-shenemar. Because there's a Pasuk in Mishlei. Pasuk in Mishlei says, Noitzer te'eino yoichel pirya. The one who protects the fig tree. The one who's metapel with the fig tree. To see that the fig tree does not become damaged. Someone who's showing where the fig, he's the one who will eat the peiros of the fig tree. Noitzer te'eino, noitzer all the meforshes, the metzudas, rabban, right, means like metzor l'shoyer from meror, means to watch, to be shomer. The one who's shomer the fig tree will eat the peiros. So somehow this has to do something with Yeshua Benun. The one who's shomer the fig tree will eat the peiros. How does that explain? How does that explain to the Ritz of Elohim that Yeshua was chosen? So he said a very beautiful pshat. He said the following. And he gives a moshel, very practical moshel. He says, I want you to imagine, he says, Ho'ish Ashuhu Osher Min Uro. You have a person who was an Osher, grew up as an Osher. You have a person who grew up as a wealthy man. From the time that he remembers, he was wealthy. V'yodav Rav Loi B'mischarav. And he's very experienced, right, doing great business. Kisser, a wealthy, successful businessman. So this wealthy, successful businessman comes into, right, in sort of like a backward little city, and he makes an offer to the poor people. This city is not everybody, the Aniyim, they have no idea how to do business, they even know what business is all about. People who live in abject poverty, and he makes an offer. He says, you know what? Who wants to come with me? And I'll take him into business. He comes into the city, this great Oisher. Ubalair Mitzar, he comes to this small city. Aniyim Vidalim Anushel, the people who are poor, right? People are Aniyim Vidalim. Vidarash Mehem, and he requested from them. He said, give me some people. Give me some people. Vidarash Mehem Anoshim, She Yesayuhu Ben Nishchoro and Yaslichu. In other words, a tremendous opportunity, right? This Gvaldik is successful, Oisher. He's coming into a town, and he's asking them, give me some people, right? I'll take them along. They should help me out in business, and they'll also be Masliya. The Hema, Mishiplas Yadayim, Umigav Hoslev Loishomaloi. But these people, either out of laziness and pride, we're not going. They're here. You know, people may do, they're used to the situation many times, so don't want to rock the boat. This is where we've been living. This is where we're used to, where we are. We're not interested. And they declined the offer, except one person. One person of the whole group, one person of the poor group, decided to accept the offer. Ach Echelman, but one of them, right, Omas Olav Mishmeros Avoido, he took the responsibility, he took the burden. He took upon himself the burden to go and help and serve this Oisher. No, guess what happened? The Hineli Orko Ayomim didn't take very long, and now the Oisher comes back, right, with his helper, who used to live in the poor city. Hineli Orko Ayomim, but Yigia HaOsher, he says, and the Oisher comes, well, first of all, he says, Hineli Orko Ayomim, Yigia HaOsher, and Mishkar Legram HaMailis. The business even prospered even more. The business even prospered even more. The Oisher Mamish came to great tremendously high miles. And not only that, the person who took in the business also was Masliyah. So she got a percentage, but not as much as the Oisher. But the person who took in was Gvalding Masliyah. Gavlo Hoisha Hoylakas Oisher. Also the person who went together with the Oisher, who agreed to go along. Hoylan Chosim Rav. So now, Ubo Shneem Lohoir, Mitzor Hanal. They come back, he says, to this small town. Right? And when the people saw the Oisher and the other fellow, one of theirs, coming out to town, the Chavshu Anshohir Pineyem Betomun, they hid their faces, right, out of embarrassment. From who were they embarrassed? Not from the big Oisher, they embarrassed from the guy who was one of them, one of those. In other words, they hid their faces, Betomun, Mipte Hoish, Me'iro, Mipte Busher. They're embarrassed from the person who used to be one of theirs. So, that person, he says to them, why embarrassed for me? I became an Oisher. He said, my boss has much more than me, has kiplik flying. Why aren't you embarrassed? Your situation, Legabi, his situation, why embarrassed for me? I'm much less of an Oisher than my boss is. So he asked, this is what he asked. In Ishallahem, Ha'ish. The man asked, the man, again, who used to belong to the small city, to the poor city. He said, Madua mimeni boish tavushu. Why do you have shame? Why are you embarrassed for me? Umipnaadoini, my master, Isha Osher, who is richer than me, Elefomim kochot, Madua aloi tavush. Why aren't you embarrassed from him? Why are you embarrassed for me? Hey, Mekei Nanu, listen with the answer. Listen. You know, we're embarrassed from you. We're not embarrassed from the great Oisha. Why? Because the great Oisha, his Ashiris, is not Etevedig Ashiris. That was Ashiris. It's an extremely, tremendously large Ashiris. And the Mela, it's a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He said, they said, Yan ki madregis adoino chaloi matas elekimu. There's no way that we would ever, if we would go into business, no way that we would be able to be Masir, to become one of him. So there's nothing that we're not doing that we couldn't do or we should have done. There's nothing we should have done that we should have said, had I done it, we'd be like him. That's Shaykh. He's way above and beyond. He's way above and beyond. It's a gift that he got. Either he was born into Ashiris, whatever the situation is. And us with our meager means, us with our meager resources, we can't expect to become a Rockefeller. Can't do that. It's not child. But you're Madrega, you are one of us. You are one of us. And you, look what became. You became Kedai, you became an Oisher. We also had the same opportunity to do what you did. And we didn't. And now look at us, look at you. We're embarrassed from you. We're not embarrassed from this Gavali Oisher, this billionaire over there. There's no way that, there's nothing lack of our doing, but that we could have. We never had potential there. He's a tremendous above and beyond, and then we have no chance to say his type of Madrega. But to your Madrega, you're one of us. So whatever you did, we could have done also. Agla Madregoscho, Halikamoycho Kamoinu Hayinu Chanalasis. Whatever you did, we could have done the same thing. Could have also accepted the offer. So Mamela, accept. In other words, Af im Dalim Anachnu. He says, even though we are poor, but if we would not have been lazy, had we not been lazy, right? And Pasha, disregarding the opportunity to work, the goyvel of Aveinu, it is our pride, manana b'chazet, which prevented us, doing what you're doing. So we thought we're going to keep our pride. We're not going to go to become a servant to the Yosher. But look at now. But now, so now, we're lacking even bread. But after you, you humbled yourself and you said, you know what? You can become a servant. You can become an heir to the Yosher. Okay, so now you are Baruch Hashem. You have become blessed. So from you we are embarrassed. Why? Because we could have been what you did. Because you're one of us. Whatever you did, we could have done also. So Meir says, Rabbi Savaloji says, Gevaldik, he says, when people saw the Madrega Moshe Rabbeinu, Klal Yisrael, no one felt embarrassed. You know, how come I'm not a Moshe Rabbeinu? No one asked that question. Why? Rabbi Savaloji goes with the same shita. Moshe Rabbeinu's Madrega was Matana from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Meir, there's nothing that we could do with our own hands, B'der Chateva, to expect to be a Moshe Rabbeinu. So therefore, we're not embarrassed to the greatness of by comparison. We're not embarrassed. Look at the Gevaldik you have. Look at the distance between Moshe Rabbeinu and us. We're not embarrassed, even though there's a million miles of difference. Moshe Rabbeinu is a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Madrega. So therefore, we're not embarrassed that we're nowhere near Moshe. Because Moshe, with Moshe Rabbeinu Madrega, that's a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As he says, Gechol Advarim Ho'elekenu. So the Rabbis of Elogener, the Madrega is Moshe Rabbeinu all of Asholem, Ein Shaykh Likanois boy. It's not shaykh to be jealous of him, or Livish man, or be embarrassed that we're not Moshe. Why? Akve, She Yismach Moshe B'matnat Chelkoi. What does Matnat Chelkoi mean? He received the Matana. Chelik Elikim Memal. Asha Bechinas Moshe, the Madrega Moshe, or Yagvoyel and Milo. He was such a high Madrega, Umi Yokol Lalo is Lahar Hashem Kemoshe. No one is able on his own to ever reach such a madriga like Moshe. And who even has the same level of a neshama that a Moshe Rabbeinu? What a bit of a logic basically is being mechabno, we mentioned, right? If you were sure and back, as a matter of fact, both side the Ram and the Droshes, Droshay writes that Moshe Rabbeinu was zoich his madriga as the next min Hashemai. So says the Ram. Moshe Rabbeinu was zoich his gevaldig madriga, says the Ram. It draws around as a matonim and a shemaim shloike der chateva, and that's why HaKadosh Baruch was able to say in the Torah clearly what did HaKadosh Baruch say that like kam novi oid kemoshe. How do you know? What do you mean like kam novi oid kemoshe? How do you know? You know how you know? Because der chateva no one can be. Even Moshe would not have been Moshe on the matonim and a shemaim. Moshe became Moshe through an esmen and a shemaim. So the Torah clearly would be able to say very commonly there's not going to be another Moshe. The Moshe did not become a Moshe through human agency. But through human activity, Moshe Rabbeinu became Moshe Rabbeinu. Was the Matan and Shemayim was the Nestle Malam Der Chateva. We pointed out the same thing. You might remember that from Meir Simcha, the Kedama to Sefer Shemayis, before it starts to Sefer Shemayis, right in the beginning, there's a whole Maroche. Right? And talking about Moshe Rabbeinu, says Moshe Rabbeinu at Kedekach. It's like a Kedosh Baruch Hu created someone. You're a Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have a Bechira. You might remember we said that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have a. Every Yid has a Bechira. L'toyv l'ra. Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't have a Bechira. Does not have a Bechira to go off the Derech. Why? Can you imagine Moshe people Torah Messinai and Moshe Rabbeinu converts Chazal becomes a Muslim? So what happens with the Torah now? The whole Torah goes down the drain. He gave us the Torah and Moshe Rabbeinu himself goes off the derech. How's the Shaykh? Kima Torah that Moshe Kibble Torah has to be a built-in guarantee. That's a built-in guarantee that Moshe remains Moshe till the end of time. But if Moshe Rabbeinu has a Bechira, so what guarantees that? The person has free choice. Trace this way, or like the Gemara said, that Yochanan, Kohen Gadol, right? 80 years, he was Mishamish, he was a Kohen Gadol, and he turned into a Tzaddiki. You can go off the Derech at the end of your life. Right in his life, is one of the greatest Tzaddiki. Like Avraham, we should mention that the result of the Yisosko brings, the Lamaisa is in the Shoma had a Tikkun. Didn't remain that way, but so this is Mamish with an Issel Vlojna saying, so we're not jealous of Moshe Rabbeinu, he says. Why? Moshe Rabbeinu was a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But we are jealous of Yeshua. How come we didn't become a Yeshua? Yeshua, of all the Talmidim, Yeshua was Makabal from Moshe, the most that is Shia. The most that a Talmud could be Makabal from a Rebbe, Yeshua is Makabal. And the Zakeim of that generation, who were great Talmidim Chachamim, Zakeim, we're talking about Zakeim, the Zikta Yisrael, they felt that we could have been the same as Yeshua. We could have been Makabal from Moshe, and we didn't. So here already they were embarrassed. From Yeshua they were embarrassed. Not from Moshe Rabbeinu. From Yeshua they were not embarrassed. Yeshua is Madrega, is a Mal Madrega Teva. Human being cannot achieve that on his own. But Yeshua, let's go further. Aval Yeshua Shizoch Al Deam Oloi. Yeshua became Yeshua through his own efforts. It's his Avoida. It's the kaiches that he put into himself. Yeshua became Yeshua. It was not a gift from a Kodesh Baruch to turn him into a Yeshua. Everybody has Tati Shmai, but you first have to do and give it your all. So Yeshua became Yeshua the Amoloi. Yeshua Hoye Mishoris Moshe. Yeshua made sure that he's going to be the Gabbai of Moshe Rabbeinu. He was the Mishoris of Moshe. Loi Moshe Metok Oil. And he never, right, set foot outside of the oil. He was always sitting in the base medrash. So the Noisetei means he was the one who was Shomer the victory. He was the one who stood on guard. It means he put in the koyach. Noisetei means the one puts in the effort. Yeshua was the Noisetei, so therefore Yoichel period. He was the one who became the mami, because Yeshua took the most and the maximum. He put in all the koyaches to be mekabel from Moshe Rabbeinu as much as the shayach. The kachom aloi kodesh baruch hu. Kach l'chos Yeshua. The Medrash says, the one who's on top of the tree, one puts in the koyach with the tree, the one who trims the tree, he watches the tree, right, and makes sure that everything goes right with the tree, he's going to eat the peiros. Yeshua was the one who put all the koyach, all the effort. He was zayich to yoichel period. So Melos comes down, knife shot. So my Melos is zeho yecholim kulam lasas ki Yeshua. That all of them could have done. All of them could have done like Yeshua. Like Akomru, right? So therefore, they said, Oiloi Sebusha, Oiloi Seklimo. In other words, what they're saying is the following, that when they saw that Kodesh Baruch Hu picked Yeshua, right? So Mamela, Oiloi Sebusha is, we're embarrassed from Yeshua. We're embarrassed because we see that what, that whatever Yeshua reached in the Madrega that he was Zoyche, we could have done exactly the same thing. They were not Zoyche. They also had the Yecholus to be like Yeshua. So come like this, because the Pashup Shat in the Gemara is again. Pnei Moshe ki Pnei Chamo, Pnei Yeshua is like Lavona. So the Zakenim are saying, Oiloi Sebusha, it's a busha that what? That our generation, that Yeshua is so much less. Now the busha is that Yeshua is not like Moshe. That's a simple chapter. The Rashbam was that way. The busha is, we used to have a Malik like Moshe, and now Yeshua is less. It's a busha. It's a busha. Yeshua is less. He's only one. No, the bush is not, it's not that the bush is on Yeshua, the bush is on us. The bush is that we did not become Yeshua. Moshe Rabbeinu we can't become. That's the Matonim and Hashemayim. However, we saw that Yeshua through his own efforts reached that high Madrega, that he was the one picked by Kodesh Baruch Hu. We could have also done the same thing. Who stopped us from doing whatever Yeshua did? We could have done the same thing. And that was Goyim, that's the Oysa Busha, the Oysa Klima. Busha, by the way, is shame, and Klima is also shame, embarrassment. What's the difference between the two? We perish. Busha is Masha Odom is Baish Miatsumoy. Person, right? Not somebody embarrassed him. Person pushes in Mabush. He sees certain things, and it causes him Busha. Klima is Masha Acher Goyim Loya Busha. The fact that Baruch Hu picked Yeshua, Shabbat picked Yeshua, that caused them. We could have also reached the same Madrega. We could have been picked. We could have been picked. And Mameli says, that's the comparison to the Chama to Lavona. The Chenu Inyan Chama Lavona. She Chama is Oire Batsumusa. Right? The Chama does not have to, so to speak, work for her life. The Chama was created with light. The Chama was created with light. Moshe Rabbeinu is Kepnei Chama. And his brother created Moshe Rabbeinu who's full of light. The Lavona has to receive as if it does something. Okay. The Levana has to receive. Yeshua had to receive from Moshe. You know, he had to work, he had to toil, he had to put in the effort to reach his Madrega. That's what it means. That's the Chilik. The Chama is Oira Batsmusa. The Chama, its light is independent. Me ito is Baruch Shemo, straight from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But Levana is not independent light. It has to receive. As is known, right? Those who have a little idea, you know, in astronomy. So this is now the Dimyim. They said, Oiloi Sebusha. You know what the Busha is? From Moshe, we have no Busha. Why? Because Pnei Moshe, Kibnei Chamo. Shahatzolas Ruach Kotchoi. If it means this, the Ashpo of Moshe Rabbeinu Ruach HaKodesh, that's Me'ito Yizbarach Shemoi. That's a gift from Kodesh Baruch Hu. But Oire Batmusa, that's independent light. But Yeshua Hoyerach Machmas, but Yeshua became Yeshua only. Why? Like the Levana has to go, right? The Levana has to be coordinated. and has to be in line to be able to receive from the Chama. Yeshua also made sure that he's in line, right? He's close enough to Moshe. He's with Moshe, associated with Moshe, to be able to receive. We could have also done the same thing. But Yeshua made sure that what? That he's in line, that he's coordinated, opposite the Chama, to be able to receive. So Noisetaino, the one actually who's shown with the tree, the one who's observed the tree, the one that who's metaphor with the tree, the one who put in the effort, the koyach, he's the one that in fact that is Zoichim. So it comes out, according to the Rashbam again, according to the Rashbam, it says also that Yeshua had embarrassment, according to the Rashbam Shat, that he's only a Levon, he's not a Chama. Yeshua meant. According to what the Bishul says, no, you can't be Moshe, you cannot be Moshe, but you can be what you are. You can't be the maximum that you are. Now, Kuponim, that which Yeshua was Zoichim because of his Amelus and through his efforts, so each person had the opportunity also to become and reach his fullest potential as it is. You know, as the Rebbe Zishi used to say very much, he said, when I come, Lelam Abo, they're not going to ask me or give me a divakash from Zishi, why are we not Mailach? He said, then again, why? Because Mailach is Mailach and Zishi is Zishi. But they're going to ask me, Zishi, why did you become Zishi? Could become Zishi, that which you are, you could have become. The idea, that's all that's expected. Become that which are able to become. And that's why the Dora, when they saw that Yeshua, through his own efforts, became Yeshua, it's not a metonym of Shammai. Basically, he gained poetry because of his efforts. And then that was what they felt, the tremendous embarrassment. That's what they bemoaned, that they also could have had the same thing. It's like the Oisher, who became an Oisher, he was also one of the poor people. He went along, accepted the offer of the Oisher. They could have also accepted the offer of the Oisher. You can't expect to be like the Oisher himself. that's like the Derech HaTeva, what the Oisher himself is. But to become what the Oni, who went with the Oisher, and he became himself an Oisher, that they also could have done. And that, of course, that was the Busha, and that is what the Zakenim of that door, like I said, the same thing. So I'd like to take a look at the sheet. And we see a number of very fascinating Perushim on this Inyan. First thing is, as Reb Chaim talked about the great Madrega of the Anova of Moshe Rabbeinu, and Reb Chaim mentioned, we said that today would be anybody would be a Anova like Moshe Rabbeinu, would be similar to Moshe, would be able to be Zoche to his Shlemus HaTorah, to the highest level. So this is safer, of course, the Chidot, the Shema Gedolim. Chidot writes in the section, the entry, we talks about the Beis Yosef. So the Chidot mentions the following. The Chidor says, and if we have your Chidor Koyser, the Chidor writes, Da, the Chidor says, Shekabalti Modem Godel. He says, I received, he says, I have a Kabbalah from Modem Godel, Bechochmo Beiro, not Stam. And Modem Godel Bechochmo Beiro, Shekibel Merav Godel. And that Modem Godel was Mekabel, he received this information coming up from another person who was a Rav Godel, Shekibel was the Kaid. So in other words, this goes back really sort of like a Messiah, a tradition. The generation of Rabbi Yosef Karo. The Karo, as you see here, dates was Nifter Shin, right? Shin Lamed Hei. Shin Lamed Hei works out to be that in 1575, Rabbi Yosef was Nifter. In 1575. So, Hoyachayim Shloish Rabbonim. But basically, three Rabbonim, Shoye Ru'uyim Lechaber Sefer Ke'ein Beis Yosef. To be Mechaber the Beis Yosef, who became ultimately the Shulchan Aruch, but first came the Beis Yosef on the tour. The tremendous Sefer the Beis Yosef, and he became the Poisek. He became the Velt Poisek, the Wolf Poisek. Menashemayim actually was potential for three Gedolim of the same generation. By the way, all were named Yosef. All were named Yosef, who had the potential to have been given the Siyat Nishmai that they would write, which would be comparable to the Beis Yosef. Shekabes Latoichoi would write a sefer that would be, right, all the halachas, like the Shulchan Aruch, all the dinim, and not only that, the Egalish or Sheim, and would reveal the sources, like the Beis Yosef, Shulchan Aruch is the finished halacha. But in the Beis Yosef, he brings the sources. So there was another Godel, another three Gedolim, that we'd be able to do that, Lasuke Shemaita Salim, the Hilchus said to bring down the halacha, right, as is accepted. Now, the Elohei, these are the three Gedolim. So one of them is, he says, Rabbi Yosef Teitatzak. Rabbi Yosef Teitatzak was a tremendous Baal Mekubal. Now, you notice, Rabbi Yosef Teit Atzak, the Chidor says, was really a potential competition to the Beis Yosef. He could have written, he almost could have written the Beis Yosef. So I want to give you a few lines what the Beis Yosef writes about the Rabbi Yosef Teit Atzak, to see who his competition was. So the Beis Yosef, it's not so known, but there's a Shalos Teshuvos from the Beis Yosef called Avkas Roichel. Avkas Roichel means the Besomim of the peddler, or the dust of the peddler. The peddler goes around selling Besomim, selling perfume. Avkas Roichel. Beis Yosef, that's the name of the Sefer Shalos. I have to say that. Shalos Teshuvos Avkas Roichel from the Beis Yosef. And he writes regarding Beis Yosef Teit Atzak. Okay, you have to hear. Again, you realize those days they didn't throw themselves around with titles, you know, again like they do today. Oyri Yisroel Kedoshoy, the light of Klal Yisroel and the Holy One of Klal Yisroel, Ateres Bnei HaGoylo, he's the crown of the Bnei HaGoylo, of the people in Golus. Oymid Lanes Amin, he stands out as a banner, right? Rosh Yeshivas HaTorah, he writes on him. He actually, it was at the time of 1492, expelled from Spain. He was there, he was one of those. One of the 300,000 Jews and change that were expelled from Spain. As Barbanel writes in quotes, Barbanel himself was among those. He had, was given the option to stay. But to be there, because, why? Because they needed it. He was the finance minister. They needed it. But he said, I'm going with my brothers. If my brothers and sisters cannot stay, I'm also going to go. Golas started wandering. They went to Portugal. Dangerous, by the way, across the seas. Many of them drowned because they didn't have the flimsy rafts like you hear today with things situations going on. Anyway, so he, Rabbi Yosef Teit Atzak, also was driven. He came with his father. He went to Turkey. So in Spain, he went to Turkey. And between his Talmidim, we have the Alshech HaKodesh. You have to have that thing. Who's the Talmud of Rabbi Yosef Teit Atzak? The Alshech HaKodesh, right? The great Alshech, who lived in Tzfas. The Shloim Al Kabbis, the Machaber of the Lochadoidi. The Machaber of the Lochadoidi. Shloim was the Talmud of Rabbi Yosef Teit Atzak. The Mirajdam, the great, great Paiskim at the time, the Rajdam. Rabbi Lez Ashkenazi, who wrote the Sefer Maisa Hashem. Great, great Gedolim, and so on and so forth. So I just want to mention that one of the very, very frightening Musas for him is the Sefer Reishis Chokhmah. It was the Talmud of the Arizal. If somebody wants to make sure, you know, that you want to stay up at night, one of the aces is to drink coffee with a lot of caffeine. But just read the Shari Gehen and you won't sleep for a number of days, by the way. Shari Gehen, he writes about a little bit of what Gehenna looks like, the Reishis Chokhmah. So the Reishis Chokhmah has different Shorim and Shari Kedusha. He writes about Rabbi Yosef Teit Atzak. So remember, Reishis Chokhmah was a Talmud of the Arizal, and he writes the following: Mem Shono Lo Yoshan B'Mito. Rabbi Yosef Teit Atzak, 40 years, did not sleep in a bed. Elam Shabbos L'Shabbos. He says, Shabbos. V'omru, and he said, and how did he sleep when he did? Sho Yedar Koilishin Al Gabateva Achas. We have a box. Not a mattress, fancy. He sat on a box. The raglot kluyers, I don't know, his feet were suspended somewhere. And then the komba chatzois mamish, he would get up at chatzois. Well, yoda ish mizen, nobody knew, at akwe misoso shesipra ishtoi, his wife would reveal it. He didn't want to publicize his madrega, so this is the way that he does. Anyway, you have a simple idea how he could be a potential competition to the Beis Yosef. So that's Rabbi Yosef Teit Atzak. Okay, further. The other one we have over here, then we have is Rabbi Yosef Barlev. Again, Yosef. The Ribalev. The Ribalev was born in the year 1500. He was also the Rebbe of the Alshech. And the Ribalev, by the way, the Shittim Mekubetzes, the Tzal Ashkenazi, he wrote the Shittim Mekubetzes, writes on him, Harav Hamuvik Moifis Hador, he's the wonder of the generation, the Bal Moifis, More de Gemara, he's really the Tsar, he's the leader of Talmud, on Ribalev. And I can remember learning Yeshiva, Mesachus Kedushin, with a Marsha. And in the first parrot, many, many places, he brings Hiksha Mahari Balev. The Mashiach brings down Hiksha Mahari Balev. Mashiach Balev as this Kasha. Mahari Balev as this and this Kasha. I just mentioned one thing. If you want to know a little bit about the greatness, and there's a number of versions. I'll tell you the version that's the most frightening version of this Maisa. Okay? I'll tell you the most frightening version. There's two versions. And this Maisa is written as a postscript in a Machzer that was printed in his time. And there's a sefer called Shalshelas HaKabbalah. It's a sefer called Shalshelas HaKabbalah. I have to say, Shasekhabal, even though it goes back hundreds of years, but not everything that he wrote was accepted to be 100% historically accurate. Doesn't mean everything was inaccurate, but not everything was 100% accurate historically, which Shasekhabal come on the road. But nevertheless, there's a lot of things recorded there, and also reported by Reb David Comforte. Reb David Comforte wrote a whole sefer on history going back again, going back hundreds of years. And he said the following. There was a Yid of God and Osher who came to din Torah to the Reb Alev. Reb Alev was not nice upon him, no favoritism, when he paskened against him. Now this individual lost the lawsuit. He lost the din Torah. So he loudly complained to Reb Yosef on the streets of Salonika. At that time he lived in Salonika in Greece. And he went mamish on the street and started to embarrass and to shame the Kovod HaTorah of the Reb Alev. And Reb Alev didn't answer him, so he's unsatisfied. You know, that's what happens. You know, you see, it doesn't affect him. So he was unsatisfied with the response. So he approached him and he slapped him. Okay, come. Mamshi went and he slapped him. So no one dared to protest. It appears why? Because of the high financial standing and influence that that person had. He figured they're going to protest and he can get you into trouble also because they have connections with the government. So nobody did anything. And the bezoyin of the Talmud Chacham remained unanswered. So what happened is the following. He, the Maisi of Yosef, tore Kriya because the Maisi felt it was a tremendous bezoyin of Kovod HaTorah. Right? And he protested, he said, what happened? That same night, this is what's recorded in the Sefer Shalsha Kabbalah. That same night, we're going to read it to you. So that same night, he said, a fire broke out in a store close to the area where the incident happened. The fire raged on until it destroyed 5,000 houses in the Jewish section, and it claimed 200 lives. After that fire in Magefa broke out, claiming yet more lives, and Rabbi Yosef left town. He moved out. That was it. So this is brought down to so we can see a clear indication how Shemayim took up for the covenant of Rabbi Yosef Barlev. So again, so you have here you have Rabbi Yosef Barlev, as we saw here, and you have Rabbi Yosef Tei Tatzak. At the end, who went out to write the Shulchan Aruch? Rabbi Yosef Karo. Why? Writes the Chidon. Right? The scheme of Shemayim, Shemayim was Matim, Shitanos, and Das, that the appropriate thing is, Kimor and Rabbi Yosef Karo Yechabreu. Why? Hey Yosef, who hitstayin the Anvesinusoi. Yosef Karo had tremendous anivis. You can imagine, they all were out of it. But hitstayin means he distinguished himself. Outstanding, Yosef Karo, together with all of his greatness, extremely his anivis, his modesty, humility, Hayesera, Yosef Minashar. As you can see, the Kashinirim is far like Doshim. If you see the writings, you know, you can agree with someone. The question is how you disagree. You can disagree. If you look at the Svarim HaKdoshim, right? It's also the Chidon. When you look at the Svarim HaKdoshim, the Holy Svarim of Yosef Karo, she'ein darkoi l'saper beginus mishapoisek loikomoisoi. That even though there are some right who paskin against him, you'll never see that he should write anything, right, negative about those who disagreed with him. U'mishnosoi hi eifoi mishnas chasidim. This is the Torah of piety, the Torah of chasidim. So writes, as we saw, so writes the Chidon. Again, the Gevaldi Union of, that's why, everything fascinating. That's why the Rabbi Yosef Karo was Zoyker. All of them had the same potential. All extremely great people. Gedoy Lador, each in his own right, as he saw. Rabbi Yosef Karo wins out because of the Midah of Anibis. The Mamish compliments what Chaim Elish writes. That will distinguish Moshe Rabbeinu when he becomes a Moshe Rabbeinu. Rabbi Yosef Karo was Zoyker also for that. So I want to show you something very interesting to, which will complement this week's parsha Tzav. It's a good word which has the shaitas with what we're talking about. And it's from a sefer, Yechayin Pe'er. Yechayin Pe'er, you can see the Mechaber is Rabbi Chanoich Tzvi HaKoyen Levin, was a Rovin Benin. You know who he was? He was the father of Rabbi Shemaya Levin. In other words, Rabbi Shemaya Levin's father, right? Rabbi Shemaya Levin's father. Mechutin with Imre Amis. I get Reinickel, man, going back, sure. Yeah. And he writes the following. It's very interesting. You know, on Simchas Torah, you know, really, you don't duchen. Now, those who do duchen, you duchen by shachris. Some places they don't duchen at all. You duchen is by musaf. If you don't duchen by musaf, you don't duchen altogether. Now, the reason that what is given, because this kiddish people drink on Simchas Torah, and a kohen is not allowed to give a bracha mitzvah shachris. You have to make sure that he's clearly of sound mind. So what they do is, so you duchen before the kiddish. I don't know here to watch people machen schnapps here before the kiddush. I don't know. They have to be mavatl like a pollen. So that's what they do for shachris. Some place they didn't duchen altogether. So he says why? You know why? That's what he says very beautifully. Hatam. The reason she ain't noisim kapayim, the reason that the kohen does not raise his hand to me, does not do him. The simchas Torah. Because on Simchas Torah was Moshe Rabbeinu gave his bracha. In other words, what do we read on Simchas Torah? Simchas Torah reads V'zoyis ha-bracha she-berach Moshe. It's Moshe's opportunity to give a bracha. Aharon HaKohen is mevatel his bracha to Moshe Rabbeinu. This is the Anivus. It's a hapla b'fela. Aharon HaKohen defers to his brother. Aharon HaKohen gives brachas. But when my brother Moshe, it's his day now to give a bracha. V'zoyis ha-bracha she-berach Moshe. Aharon defers. So look further now, very beautifully. We know that actually, from the birth of Moshe Rabbeinu on, till Devarim, all the Chumashim, till Devarim, Moshe Rabbeinu's name is mentioned in every parasha except Tetzaveh. Why? By the way, Agav, Tetzaveh usually comes out Zayin Oder, which happens to be the earth side of Moshe Rabbeinu, the week of Zayin Oder. Okay? Yeah? But it, so, and this, so he says, so why is Moshe Rabbeinu's name omitted? Why is Moshe Rabbeinu's name omitted? So different reasons. We don't want to get the other reasons now. You know why? So what is Parashat Tetzaveh? Parashat Tetzaveh is the parasha of Big Day Kehuna. It's the parasha giving kovet to the Kohen Gadol. If it's the time for my brother to have kovet, Moshe Rabbeinu says, I want to be out of sight. Moshe Rabbeinu was a manik also. Who demanded more kovet than Moshe Rabbeinu? But if it's my brother's time to shine, I step out of the way. Parashat Tetzaveh is Aharon HaKohen's day. This parasha, Big Day Kehuna, talks everything about the void of the Kohen. Moshe Rabbeinu was like, he's mevatel. So Aharon HaKohen invite when it comes to the Messiah, his mevatel is brought to Moshe. And with Aharon's turn to shine, Moshe Rabbeinu removes himself. He still covered his brother. The Gevaldik Yitam, very, very interesting new Tam. So he says again, Bifneishi Parashat Shal Aharon HaKohen. So right, so many mevatel. Moshe Rabbeinu asks him, Moshe Rabbeinu is mevatel himself. Vezehu Moshe v'Aharon hu Aharon Moshe. We find sometimes Torah is Moshe before Aharon. Sometimes Rashi Shneim Shkulim Oyo. They're both equal. Sometimes Moshe's name. What do you mean both equal? The idea is that when it came to their own personality, each one deferred to the other. Each one deferred to the other. That is the koyach. So remain a few moments before we can go further on the sheet over here. There's a very, as you say, a lot of beautiful things over here. Well, again, what we're talking about here. We're talking about, we just saw it here from the Bendina Rov, V'chanoich Tzvi Levin, Moshe Rabbeinu defers, his name and price of Tzav is not mentioned. Unless I can mention it, I can just a little bit, just embellish it just a little bit more. We were signed with that. It is very interesting that, now one of the reasons that is given, the usual reason that is given, is the Balaturim says, is Moshe Rabbeinu by the Chet Egel. Moshe Rabbeinu said to Kodesh Baruch Hu, if you don't forgive them for the Chet Egel, Mecheini no Mesifecha, erase my name from the Torah. At the end of the day, Kodesh Baruch Hu says, Salachti Kedvarecho. But being that Moshe Rabbeinu cursed himself, a chokham should be very careful what he says. It killed us chokham until at nai hubo. Moshe Rabbeinu said, Mecheini no, it was Niskayim. But where was it Niskayim? In Parshas Tetzaveh. The question is, why Parshas Tetzaveh though? The Chet Ha'egel was in Parshas Kisiso. The Chet Ha'egel was in Parshas Kisiso. Yet Moshe Rabbeinu's name is erased a few parshas before, Parshas Tetzaveh. So the question is, why was it erased? That's over here. The name doesn't appear Parshas Tetzaveh. And that's the basic question. So Rav Avadya Yosef, very interesting. Rav Avadya Yosef says that because the posuk, the statement, Mecheini no misifrecho, listen to the tzchat. Erased me misifrecho. The word misifrecho is made up of two words. Misefer chof. The 20th parasha in the Torah. The 20th parasha is Parashat Tetzaveh. Mecheini no misifrecho. Misefer chof. Moshe Rabbeinu himself asked that. Mecheini no misifrecho. So Rabbi Yosef misefer chof from the 20th parasha. Go and count the Sefer. The 20th parasha in the Torah is Parashat Tetzaveh. So it's a very cute insight, but now the question is, but why? That's Parashat Tetzaveh. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu say it that way? But it's also a question. She stimmt. The 20th Moshe Rabbeinu said, Misifrachov, Misifrachov, the 20th Sedra. So there's a Sefer that says a very interesting thing. You know, many times you find Rabbi Sai, and this is ego, and I might say can't blame a person, this basic ego that everybody has, and the dignity a person should feel. So we find many times that when a person is being removed from a job, right, he feels the need to remind the people, you know, I could have had that job. It just, I don't think I could have had it. He wants people to know that he himself couldn't reach it, but there's other reasons why not. It is a very, very, very interesting. It's a true story that happened to Chaim Shmulevich. Chaim Shmulevich, he said there was. He said there are usually. And this again another insight from the great Baal Musar. He said like this: there are usually three jobs in connection with a garbage truck. The three jobs in connection, Chaim Shmulevich said, three jobs connected, he said, with a garbage truck. You have the driver, and you have the two fellows who empty the garbage, right? The two fellows who empty the garbage right in the back of the garbage truck. Now, what's the chilek between the three? Since the driver has the comfort of driving around in an air-conditioned truck, right? Also, it doesn't have to handle the garbage, doesn't have to smell the garbage. It's a relatively decent job, let's call it, right? The guys in the back, they have to jump on and off the truck, and they have to handle and smell the garbage. So the Chaim Shmulevich commented, as he said, that he was once walking the streets of Yerushalayim, and he sees a garbage truck. So one of the fellows, I guess he was a little embarrassed, he sees the B'chaim walking by. I guess he knew what the B'chaim was. They're all Jewish in Israel, right? So he sees the B'chaim walking by, and he's working with the garbage. So he says to the B'chaim, he says in Yiddish, I could have been the driver, but I've zipnish kan kubit. I couldn't drive, I'm not looking for COVID. So I'm working in the back with the garbage. So he says, in other words, this is the idea you find, that there are different madrigas riding COVID, but all, and people have a need, if they're passed over a certain position of COVID, they have a need to say, I could have had it. They said, I could have had it. And I might say, Chazal said that Moshe Rabbeinu Rabbeisa was offered to be a Kohen Gadol. Matter of fact, Moshe Rabbeinu was Mishamish. By the 7 days of Meluah, Mishamish as a Kohen Gadol. He was offered to be a Kohen Gadol. And the Chazal mentioned, the Medrash said that Moshe Rabbeinu declined the job. Ahana Kohen is older. Moshe Rabbeinu declined to be serve as a Kohen Gadol. Why? Because he deferred to his older brother. Parashat Tzavah Rabbeisai is the parasha of Bidei Kehuna. Right? Where the Torah is describing right, the Cheshivas of the Kohen Gadol. When Moshe Rabbeinu reached Parashat Tzavah, he may be thinking to himself, the Torah could have been talking about me. I could have been the Kohen Gadol. This whole Parashat Tzavah could have been talking about me. Right? And I could have worn the uniform. So Mela comes Moshe Rabbeinu in this extreme anivis. He says that precisely the parasha I don't want to be mentioned. That precisely the parasha I don't want to be mentioned. This is a Aharon's parasha. And I don't want to say I could have had the job, but I didn't take it. I don't want to be mentioned at all. This is his parsha, and therefore, let the entire COVID belong to my Shabbat.